The trial was irretrievably over. Everything that could be said had been said. But Carl Michael Blomqvist had never doubted that he would lose. The verdict was handed down at 10 on Friday morning, and all that remained was a summing up from the reporters waiting in the corridor outside the district court. Blomqvist saw them through the doorway and slowed his step. But questions were unavoidable, and he, of all people, knew that they had to be asked and answered. He straightened up and tried to smile. The reporters gave him friendly, almost embarrassed greetings. "Give us a sound bite, Kalle Blomqvist." It was a reporter from one of the evening papers. Blomqvist, hearing the nickname, forced himself, as always, not to roll his eyes. Once, when he was 23 and had just started his first summer job as a journalist, Blomqvist had chanced upon a gang which had pulled off 5 bank robberies. Blomqvist was staying at a summer cabin near Katrineholm. Exactly why he made the connection he could not explain. But as he was listening to the news report of the latest robbery, he remembered a group of 4 men in a cabin a few hundred metres down the road. 4 blonde athletic types. There had been no good reason to suspect them, but nevertheless he had gone to a hill overlooking their cabin. A Volvo drove up and the young men got out in a hurry, each carrying a sports bag. One took something from the boot, which he hurriedly covered with his jacket. Even from Blomqvist's relatively distant observation post, he could tell that it was a good old AK-4, the rifle that had been his constant companion for the year of his military service. He called the police, and that was the start of a 3-day siege, with Blomqvist in a front-row seat, collecting a gratifyingly large fee from an evening paper. The fall of the gang launched him as a journalist. The downside of his celebrity was that another newspaper could not resist using the headline, "Kalle Blomqvist Solves the Case," after the boy detective in Astrid Lindgren's book. In spite of his respect for Lindgren, he detested the nickname. It took him several years and far weightier journalistic successes before the nickname began to fade, but he still cringed if it was ever used. Right now, he achieved a placid smile and said to the reporter, "Oh, come on, think of something yourself. You usually do." His tone was not unpleasant. They all knew each other, more or less. "You took a real hit in there," said the one from Dagens Nyheter, clearly a young part-timer. "How does it feel?" Neither Blomqvist nor the elder journalists could help smiling. "How does it feel?" The half-witted sports reporter shoves his microphone in the face of the breathless athlete on the finishing line. "I can only regret that the court did not come to a different conclusion," Blomqvist said, a bit stuffily. 3 months in jail and 150,000 kroner damages, that's pretty severe," said the woman from TV4. "I'll survive." "Are you going to apologise to Wennerström? Shake his hand?" "I think not." "So you still would say that he's a crook?" Dagens Nyheter. The court had just ruled that Blomqvist had libelled Hans-Erik Wennerström. So what would happen if he repeated his claim on the court steps? Blomqvist did not want to find out. "I thought I had good reason to publish the information that was in my possession. The court has ruled otherwise, and I must accept that. I have no more to add." "But how did you come to forget that journalists actually have to back up their assertions?" TV4. Her expression was neutral, but Blomqvist thought that he saw a hint of disappointed repudiation in her eyes. "I have nothing to add," he repeated. But when the others had accepted this, TV4 asked her questions in front of the camera. He was kinder than he deserved, and there were enough clear answers to satisfy all the reporters still standing behind her. They had what they needed and headed back to their respective newsrooms.